Hey guys, my name's Aaron. I'm one of the youth summer interns with RBC this year. And welcome to part four of our series, Acquire Wisdom. So the title of this message today is Wise in My Own Eyes. But what does that really mean? Being wise in your own eyes is when you kind of act like you think you know what's best for you. And that's not always a thing of pride, because sometimes you do know what's best for you, but it can be an issue of pride when you're putting your own authority over God's authority or other people in your life. And pride also kind of blinds you to the problems and issues in your own life. So the main point that I kind of want you guys to think about as we're going through the message is that pride is destructive, but humility brings wisdom. And as we go through this message, you'll kind of understand more by what I mean when I say that. So the first kind of thing I want to talk about is actually a story of how this kind of plays out into my life. I just finished my first year of college at Virginia Tech, but I can still kind of look back to high school and see where it's definitely been evident. So growing up, I wasn't a very outwardly prideful or boastful person, and I wasn't outwardly judgmental either, or at least not that much, but it was still kind of on the inside of me. I thought that I didn't do things that other people did, and I didn't act like the way other people did, and so because of that, I was better than other people. And the problem with that was it really blinded me to the wrong things I actually still was doing in the midst of all that, and it made me a hypocrite. It wasn't until like a summer camp before 10th grade in high school that God really convicted me through His Spirit of all the wrongs I actually did. And that humbled me and made me realize how low I actually was. And I finally understood how important God's grace was and why I constantly need it. That pride in my life was destructive, because I could have continued down a path with a really hard heart, not fully knowing why I needed God's grace. But by finding humility, I was able to gain wisdom in terms of why I shouldn't look down on others. So this, kind of going back to pride, what exactly is it? So first off, I kind of want to show you guys this book that I was reading that helped me when I was kind of studying for this. It's by Stuart Scott. It's called From Pride to Humility. It's really short. It's only about 30 pages, but it offers a great biblical perspective on what pride is, what humility is, and kind of how we can get from one to the other. And so one of the main things that Scott kind of says when we're dealing with pride is that we first need to recognize pride for what it is, and we need to kind of identify where it is in our life. And a definition that he uses that I really like is that pride is the mindset of self, which is basically a focus on self and the service of self, a pursuit of self-recognition and self-exaltation, and a desire to control and use all things for self. Now, you may be thinking, oh, that's not me, because I'm not that controlling and I'm not that self-absorbed. But there are lots of other forms of pride that you may not think are pride. Up here on the screen are some of the things that stood out to me in terms of what you guys might be dealing with in high school. So there's anger, being consumed by what others think, being defensive or blame-shifting, and minimizing your own sin and maximizing the sin of others. Now, anger isn't always related to pride, and sometimes it's kind of like, sometimes there is like a justified reason for why we're angry. But it can be related to pride when it's like you're getting angry because something didn't go your way and you're kind of throwing a temper tantrum. Being consumed with what others think is a form of pride, because you're trying to do all your actions that would please others. You try to seek the approval of others, but you're not really trying to please God. You're more of a man pleaser than a God pleaser. Now, being defensive or blame shifting is also a form of pride, because when you kind of shift the blame onto someone else, you're trying to rationalize your sin, when in reality there is no excuse for sin. It's just wrong, plain and simple. And also minimizing your own sin and maximizing the sin of others is kind of comparing your sin. It's making your sin seem smaller in comparison to everyone else, when in reality, to God, all of our sin is the same, and it just, sin in general is imperfection, and that's all that it takes, really. And so there's actually one more thing that I noticed that I think is really important, and you guys might not think of it as a type of pride, but it's being focused on the lack of your gifts and abilities. I wanted to kind of read through this passage in 1 Corinthians real quick. So it's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 14 through 25. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? It continues on. As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. The parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving great honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. The reason why Paul wanted to kind of draw so much attention to this kind of idea of comparing yourself to other people is because that's also pride. Part of the reason why that being in that state of self-pity is so destructive is because it pushes people and God away as you refuse to hear the truth from others and from his word. And you might want to be like someone else, but God has given you everything you need to fit into his plan. When you're kind of in that pit, you're not really concerned about how you can use the gifts that he's given you to glorify him, and you're more concerned about kind of how you can glorify yourself. And so that's kind of why that's also considered pride. So the things that I've listed to you are just some of the many different manifestations of pride. And I'm hoping that it helps you kind of get a better idea of where you might have pride in your life that you might not have seen before. So I wanted to go to one more verse that kind of talks about pride, and it's Proverbs 26:12. It says, "Do you see a person wise in their own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for them." Now, what that's saying is that there's more hope for the fool because the fool has more of a chance to see that their ways are more foolish. If you're wise in your own eyes, you think that what you're doing is totally fine, and you kind of block yourself out from anything else that anyone is saying. So kind of transitioning from all this stuff about pride, I kind of wanted to talk about another story, an example in my life where I've kind of seen pride. So it's actually recently from college in this past semester at Virginia Tech. I was auditioning for one of the concert bands, and I kind of had an expectation as I was preparing and going into the audition that I would do better than some of the other people who were trying out for the same instrument as me, because I thought that my skills might put me above them. And I wasn't outwardly boastful about this, but it was definitely something inside of me. But then the results came out, and I actually didn't do better than the people that I thought I would. And as soon as that happened, I could clearly see that all that stuff leading up to it was totally pride. So I'm really thankful that God helped me see it right then and there. But I think another thing is that I could have chosen to continue being prideful in that situation if I was holding on to the fact that, oh, I should have done better than them. That would have totally kind of prevented me from experiencing all the joy I was able to find in spending time with those band members or playing music, doing what I love, I kind of recognized my position in relation to God and other people, and that was as lower. And I was challenged to see how I could use my position to bring glory to God instead of myself. So kind of what is really is this experience? Like, what is this humility that I've been talking about? So I'm going to borrow again from Scott and his kind of definition of humility. He says that humility is the mindset of Christ, which is focus on God and others, a pursuit of the recognition and exaltation of God, and desire to glorify God and please God in all things and by all things he has given. But why is humility so important? We've been talking about it kind of a lot. It's because humility brings wisdom, and that's where it kind of links into our series of acquiring wisdom. Proverbs 11:2 says, "When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom." And so it's really kind of clear right there. The Bible is saying that kind of those who are humble have wisdom. But then how do you just get wisdom from humility? Like, if you read that passage or the areas around it and you're looking for it, it might not be clear right away. But a humble person knows that they need wisdom, and then they go out and seek it. If you were kind of prideful, you wouldn't think you needed to go seek wisdom. And so that's kind of the contrast. With humility, you seek wisdom. And whether that's going into God's word or going after someone you trust, like a leader or a family member, and just really getting some truth poured into you. Also, true humility only comes from living a spirit-filled life. If you're kind of living in pride, it'll be hard for you to live that spirit-filled life. And without the Spirit, our understanding of humility is kind of empty and simple, because the Holy Spirit is the only way we can kind of turn that knowledge into wisdom that we can apply into our lives. And along with wisdom, humility kind of offers other things too. Proverbs 22:4 says, "Humility is the fear of the Lord. Its wages are riches and honor and life." And so what this verse means is that, well, when you fear God, it's kind of knowing your position beneath him as your almighty creator and still wanting to serve and glorify him. And God wants to honor you for that. Like it says, its wages are riches and honor and life. So how do we get from here to there, from pride to humility? Real quick, I wanted to look at James chapter 4. Verses 7 through 10, it says, "Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning, your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up." So James kind of lays it out right here. To go from pride to humility, it's a constant process of submitting yourself to the Lord. Because there's no real guarantee that you'll never feel any sort of instance of pride in your life. But what is important is how you respond. And the faster you kind of deal with the pride that shows up in your life, the better. Because it'd be more harmful if you kind of let it take root and cause more problems down the line. So the three main takeaways that I'd like you guys to kind of sit with you from this message is that pride is destructive, and we need to put on humility. It's not something that comes naturally, like the pride that might be in our heart. It's something that we have to put on. And also, just for understanding what humility really is, humility isn't about thinking less of myself. It's about thinking of myself less. It's about kind of lifting God higher and placing myself lower and kind of recognizing that position. So kind of an application/challenge that I have for you guys that could definitely help in terms of trying to see where you are prideful in your life, because it's hard for us to see it ourselves. If you could find someone who can kind of call out where the pride is in your life, that could definitely be another way for you to kind of go about that. But you'd want to make sure it's someone who knows you really well, and someone who won't just tell you what you want to hear, but is honest with you. However, you don't want it to be someone who like kind of want to do it just to tear you down. Like, you really want to, this really has to be a trusted person. And something that I was thinking about is, if we really kind of took up this task of trying to put on humility, how would it kind of change the youth group? And so there are two main things that I think would be crazy cool if humility could impact our group. The first is unity. If the group is kind of centered on glorifying God and pursuing Christ, it'll be easier for everyone to pursue and love each other because we're trying to do the same that we're doing for Christ. And when we have that unity and we're pursuing God together, people outside of the youth group will kind of see that and want to join because they want to have that strong unity and they want to pursue God. And my other big thing that I think would be crazy is confidence. We all kind of want to have worth and value, but the important thing is that you're finding it in the right place. Instead of seeking approval of others, which is, like I mentioned earlier, like a form of pride, we should remember how God defines it and or defines us, because what he says is way more meaningful than what anyone else says. And when we choose to listen to what God says about us, it means that our confidence is in Christ. And also kind of as a part of that confidence, there would be way more vulnerability and honesty. If we're not worried about what other people think, we'll be more open to share things that we're hiding from the rest of the world and kind of bring what's in the dark to the light. And that vulnerability and honesty can help us enjoy the community the way God intended for us to be. And so the way that this will kind of help us on an individual level too, I'm going to go back to Proverbs 22:4, where it says, "Humility is the fear of the Lord. Its wages are riches and honor and life." And it's just that God wants to honor you for being humble. And it's going to be hard. It's not easy to put on humility. But God does want to honor you. And now that honor isn't necessarily like that you'll be more powerful than other people or that you will have more riches than other people. But it's mainly about that God sees you as wise in his eyes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your word. Thank you for showing us how destructive pride can be in our lives. But thank you for also showing us how important humility is and how much you want to honor us for it. I pray as we continue on with our weeks that you would help us to choose humility instead of pride and help us to have open eyes so that we can kind of clearly see where pride is showing up. And we ask all these things in your name. Amen. Thank you and have a great week.